morning. Good to see you all today. Hope you've had a great weekend so far. Thankful for your attendance here this morning. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Galatians chapter 6. I'll be reading verses 6 through 10 for you this morning. I want to remind you to keep in prayer the Weldy family. Dennis's dad passed away. Thankfully, unexpectedly, Dennis was here this morning, so it's great to have him here, he and Christy. And his mom is in quarantine right now because of the coronavirus, but after she has recovered from that, then they will proceed with the arrangements for your dad. Is that right, Dennis? Over in Georgia. So, okay, Tuesday the 19th. So keep Dennis in your prayers, he and his family during this time. Good to see others back, as it was mentioned this morning. The Lord bless you all. And it's good to have the Westons here. They'll be coming to share with us about the work in Ecuador here in just a little while. In Galatians chapter 6, I'm going to read verses 6 through 10. Then I want to share with you a message entitled, Are You a Good Doer? In verses 6 through 10, the Word of God says, Let him who is taught the Word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. I'd like to pray for us now at this time, if you would join me in prayer. Father God, I was just reminded of the verse in Proverbs 3 that tells us that we are to do good to those to whom it is due when it is in the power of our hand. Do so. Father, as we see in this passage this morning so much about doing good and doing good to one another, we know that the Lord Jesus said in John 13:35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Lord, I pray you please grow us through this passage, through the preaching of this text and this context that it's found in, and use it to form us into a Christ-like church. Father, I pray for the folks who aren't here and who can't be here or needing to stay away at this time. I pray your Holy Spirit would comfort them, and they, God, would be edified and taught there where they are at this time, if they're watching online. Father, for Dennis and his family as they mourn the loss of his father, we pray again for them. Continue to pray for them. God, I pray that they will be comforted by the comfort which is from God, that they will be consoled by the consolation that is from God, and through the, even in this man's passing, Lord, that he would continue to glorify you in his testimony and legacy that he leaves, just as he served you faithfully while he was here. Comfort, Lord, those who mourn. Help us to do so. Bless now the preaching of your word, Father, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to this text today, as I said, I'm sharing with you a message entitled, Are You a Good Doer? And as we looked at last week, verses 1 through 5, talking about bearing one another's burdens and the points that we found there last week, ministry involves restoration, ministry involves burden bearing, and ministry involves self-examination. I in no way wanted to say that none of you folks do anything to serve one another, okay? That's not what I meant in any of the things that I said, because you all are quite faithful in that and go above and beyond in many ways to reach out to one another and to bear one another's burdens. So I commend you in that. But at the same time, as we're working through passages like this, we know that we are still being sanctified, that we are growing in Christ-likeness. We have not arrived as a church when it comes to things even like bearing one another's burdens and restoring one another, those who were caught in a trespass. And we want to, from the Word of God, receive courage and boldness to act when there are opportunities that arise. and we want to be informed. The Bible is for our information, but it is also for our edification, for the building up of ourselves into a mature person in Christ. So those were the three points that we looked at last week. And we're going to continue to work through this text today. You know, the standard of good is God alone. Jesus even said that in Mark chapter 10, verse 18, when someone called him good teacher, he said, "Why do you call me good? There is none that is good but God." So our only hope for good is that the Spirit of God in us would work through us, right? Y'all have seen already in this context in Galatians chapter 5 that the fruit of the Spirit is something that is produced in us as believers. And as you think about your life today, as we think about our lives individually and as a church, I would like for us to think about our lives as a field. And if your life was a field, what would be planted in it? And if there is a harvest of that field one day, what will be harvested from that field? Now, around my house, I have a lot of farmland around my house, and all around it this past year there were soybeans planted. And guess what they harvested at the end of the summer, into the fall? They harvested corn, right? No, they harvested soybeans because that's what was planted there. They didn't. Year before last, they planted cotton. So they harvested cotton. Think about your life as a field. Cyrus McCormick is a blacksmith in Virginia that I found on one site here about the mechanical reaper. He developed the first practical mechanical reaper to harvest grain in 1831 when he was only 22 years old. His machine at first was a local curiosity, proved to be enormously important. In the decades following McCormick's first attempts to bring mechanical aid to farm work, his invention would revolutionize farming in the United States and around the world. If we think about this man, who I don't know a lot about other than what I've just read to you and a little more that I read in addition to that, but this inventor's story, we see someone who did many people good. Even today, we see the goodness of his invention around us. As farmers would multiply the acres that they farmed back in his day, and the food they sold was multiplied, and the food that they were able to store for themselves and their families was multiplied because of this man's invention. And McCormick would become a person who changed the world. So not only did he do himself good, but he obviously did many others good as well. So this is what we'll see in this passage this morning. A Christian good doer. What does this text tell us about this? Is there anything for us to learn? The first thing is this in verse 6. A Christian is one who does good toward those who teach us the word, or who teach them the word. If you look at verse 6, it says, "Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches." Okay, so real simple, if you just look at the verse with me. We see that Paul tells us here that there are those who are taught the word in the church. There are those who teach the word in the church. The thing that is taught is the word. And what is that word? But it is that doctrine that is according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God. The Word of God, the ministry of the Word, is what is taught in the church, just as I seek to do this morning. We find from this that this was apparently a standard that was found way back in the New Testament times, that the Word of God was taught. And here we see these who are taught, those who teach, we see what they have taught, and now we see what is to happen after the Word is taught. In verse 6, right there in the middle of the verse, "Let him who is taught the word share." The word for share there is the word that koinonia. It is a form of the word koinonia, which we have for fellowship, that communion that we have together in Christ. So he says, "Let him who is taught the word fellowship in all good things with him who teaches." Or you could say, "Let him who is taught the word fellowship with him who teaches in all good things." So there is this relationship that is to take place here. Now, as you maybe would look at commentaries at some point on this passage, this verse seems a little bit random. Because is Paul all of a sudden saying in here, as many commentators interpret this, that you need to provide financially for the preacher or the preacher, pastor, teacher in a church? Is that what Paul is teaching in this passage? Now, we find that there are passages that would certainly support that, and that may be part of what Paul's talking about. Luke 10:7, I think I have it up here on the screen, says, "And remain in the same house," this is to Jesus' disciples when he sent them out, the 70 that he sent out. He says, "And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house." Here we see those going out and teaching the word, and they are provided for by others. There's another in 1 Corinthians 9:11 and 14, parts of it. Paul writes, and he says, "If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more?" And then in verse 14, he says, "Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel." And then you all know that there are other places in Scripture where it says to not muzzle the ox while it is treading out the grain. In other words, to provide for those who are doing the work. And that could very well be the case. That could be a major part of what Paul is teaching here. To share in all good things. The person teaches the word. Those who are taught are then able to be a blessing back to them. And sometimes it might be financially. If that is the case, I'd like to say to New Life Baptist Church, God bless you for your faithfulness to do that over the years. For 15 years in June, first Sunday in June, I would have been here at New Life Baptist Church, and this church has faithfully provided for the needs of my family so that my wife can be home and teach our children, and I can minister and preach the word, and I want to thank you for your faithfulness to do that. Is that all that it means? I don't think that it is. And I'll go a little further by saying to you that this passage would go beyond just material things to be things like such as the goodness that's found in the context in chapter 5 and 6. The goodness of the fruit of the Spirit. The goodness of bearing one another's burdens. The goodness of taking part in restoring one who is caught in a trespass. The goodness of loving one another. You see, it's only a small thing if a minister is only provided for financially, but that minister in his preaching and teaching of the word, if the people do not actually obey it and seek to submit their lives to the word of God. Discipleship. I'll show you a couple of passages. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Here in Hebrews 13, 7, he said, "Remember those who rule over you," and that word rule is a word that's used a lot of times in the New Testament for elders, for those who are in leadership positions over the church. It's not a domineering thing. It's not lording it over people, but it's like a shepherd shepherding the flock and taking care of the flock. So he says, "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you," and look at the next three words, "whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct." Okay, so there's these who rule, who teach the word, who shepherd, who lead the people. The people see that, and it's not just them giving money to him to take care of him, but they say, "Yes, I'm going to follow that is taught. I'm going to follow that example." Another one is this, and I told you guys I was going to come back to this in October when I talked about pastor appreciation. Y'all remember that? Hebrews 13:17. Again, the church has been so generous to me over the years, faithful financially. But listen, folks, it doesn't stop there. And I don't think that you think that. But let's be reminded of some of these important verses in the New Testament. In Hebrews 13:17, he says, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive." Okay, so that I'm not self-aggrandizing here. I want you to be under my authority or anything like that, or under Brother David's authority. Even though God has seen it to be that way, it's not like we're wanting you to be heavy-handed. But notice what it says. why should you obey those who rule over you? Why should you be submissive? For they watch out for your souls. Think about that in relation to the elders and the pastors of a congregation and here at this church, that we have been given the major, the weighty responsibility of watching out after your souls as those who must give what? An account. Okay? So that's a lot of responsibility on us as pastors to do that. Notice what the next part of it says. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. See, when we have responsibilities as pastors and elders, but you have a responsibility as a congregation. And I would submit to you this morning that that is one of the ways in which we can share in all good things. Sharing in that fellowship with one another. Sharing in that union in Christ. I have my part to do. David has his part to do. You have your part to do. And we submit to the Word of God. You see, let those who are taught the Word share in all good things with him who teaches. And we learn this all from the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 13 says, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you." That is that teaching of the Word, admonish, encourage to act, "and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves." So, in verse 6, in this fellowship that he is referring to, there is this union between the one who teaches and those who are taught. Practically speaking, I would just like to say that some of the greatest and most encouraging times in ministry for me is when any individual might would come up and say something to the effect that I learned something from God's Word today because of what you taught. There are very few things that are more energizing and encouraging from that. Now, I'm not wanting all y'all to come up and say, "Brother Eric, I learned something today from what you taught." All right? I'm talking about genuinely learning from the Word of God and being built up and encouraged by that, those types of things. And you all have been so good to do things like give a card, give a text message, an email, say a kind word over the years. And through all of those things, those good things, I want you to know that it is a blessing not only to myself, but to Brother David as you do so for him as well. Point number two is this. Good toward all men. So in one way, we do good toward those who teach us the Word in verse 6. But the next thing we see in verse 10 is that we do good toward all men. And these points are going to be much shorter than that first one. Good toward all men. Verse 10 says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." So the second part, we do good toward all men. Who is our neighbor? To whom are we to do good? In Luke 10, we know the parable of the Good Samaritan. And we found out from there that the person to whom we can do good for is that person who is right in front of us who needs help, who needs a burden lifted, who needs someone to walk along beside them to help them along the way. Just like that Good Samaritan came and helped the man who was in dire straits in Luke chapter 10. We find in Acts chapter 10 verse 38 that the Lord Jesus went about doing good and healing. He was a man who did good and was known for it. Now, this doesn't mean that New Life Baptist Church is going to help every single person on the face of the earth. All right, you see there where he says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all." That doesn't mean that we're going to be able to help all 7.5 or 8 billion people who are in the world. But we are and can help those who are in front of us day in and day out. It can start at our homes. It can go to our workplaces. It can go to the church. It can go wherever we go. We can do good. When Jesus went to the pool of Bethesda in John chapter 5, I believe it is, how many people did he heal? There was one lame man that he healed. The Lord God had it for Jesus to do that on that day. And he went there and healed that one man. He didn't heal all of them, all the people who were there, but he healed that one man. And I want you to know that you, as you go about your day as a Christian, can do good to others for the glory of God. Point number three is this. We do good especially to those who are of the family of faith, or the faith family. At the end of verse 10, he says, especially those who are of the household of faith. You see, any good man cares about his family and takes care of his family. Can you imagine a dad who only played with the kids who were across the street from his house and he never played with his own kids? That wouldn't be very good, would it? Not at all. We would probably look upon him and frown if he only played with the kids across the street, never with his own children. In this verse, Paul's laying out here for the Galatians that, yes, do good to all men, but remember, especially do good to those who are of the family of faith, the household of God. You see, the church is a blood-related, blood-bought family. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord. We are a family, and we care for one another, doing good to one another, and that is a top priority in our lives, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Take just a second and think back over this past week, or maybe this past month. Have you done good to someone in this church family? Have you borne anyone's burden? Have you tried to help anyone who was in a trespass? Have you, through love, served one another in any capacity? I want you to know, if you look back on your life and you say, yeah, the Lord gave me several opportunities to do that, or the Lord gave me one or two opportunities, then rejoice and be exceedingly glad, because you're doing what the Lord's called you to do, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now, if you look back and you say, I haven't done anything, then I need to say to you, repent and get busy, all right? Because there's a lot to do. There's a lot of good that can be done. You can send a text message. You can call someone. You can write a card and send a card. You can check in on those who have not been here in a while. There's a lot to do. There are many good ways to serve one another. We are to, through love, serve one another. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 46 through 50, Jesus said this, while he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside seeking to speak with him. Then they said, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you. But he answered and said to the one who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. This morning, I'm going to conclude the message right there because I want to give plenty of time for the Westons to come. But here's what we're going to look at next week. And I'll remind you of Romans 15:14. It says, now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you are also full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Here's the things that we're going to look at next week in conclusion. Good doing can be wearisome. Number two, a harvest is certain, but you must keep sowing. And then number three, you will reap what you sow. So we'll spend our time together next week looking at these the remaining verses in this passage as we join together at that time. So we end today asking ourselves, are you a good doer? And I tell you that you as a church do have an opportunity and you have been faithful to do good. We give financially to support our missionaries throughout the year and throughout the years. And one of the missionaries that we have been able to support is the Weston family. Dan and Regina Weston and Victoria, their daughter, is with them today as well. And we are able to give financially on a monthly basis to help support the ministry that they have there. Now, we're not the only ones who support them, praise God, right? But there are several, I assume several other churches that help with the financial needs of that ministry. But one of the ways that we've been able to bear up the burden that they have is to give and support them financially. And sometimes we're able to give above and beyond. This past year, we were able to give them an extra month's offering because of the missions extra fund that we have here at New Life Baptist Church. So we were able to give extra to some ministries at the end of the year, and one of those was the Westons and the work that they're doing in Ecuador. So I'm going to go ahead and pray at this time to kind of close out the message and pray for God's blessing again on the Word. But then I'm going to turn it over to the Westons and let them come on up and share with us about what's going on in the work there. Let's pray together right now. Now, as we pray, I just want to ask you to think about your life and the field of your life and what you're sowing, and are you sowing good there? And maybe if you really desire to do good and you just haven't done that lately or haven't seen the opportunity, just take a moment to ask God for those opportunities. Pray that He would make every desire of goodness in your life come about through faith in Him. And if you see that you've had opportunities, give Him praise and thanks for that. Father, thank You for the gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ, who bore our sins in His body on the cross, that we through Him might live. Father, I thank You for Jesus and the gospel that saves us, Lord. Gives us the Spirit of God so that we can and be empowered to live for You and work for You and to serve others in love. Thank You, Father, that we have been able to, as a church, support some missionaries, and one of those being the Westons. And Lord, I thank You for the work that they are doing, that they'll share with us this morning, and I pray now that You will please bless them as they come and help them to clearly communicate to us what's going on there and lead us as a church, Lord, to continue to support and be used by You in that ministry according to Your will. In Jesus' name, amen.